mullet from Kentucky drove over there with his truck and a deer rifle and started shooting up white people. Make NASCAR year long. Make rodeo an Olympic sport. Bring back hee-haw. Right? But it wasn't. It was black and Muslim. I was like, oh, thank God. That's fantastic. Holy shit. Woo! I blame his family, though. His family should have seen that shit coming, right, girlfriend? You know what I'm talking about. They should have seen that shit coming. Come on, black and Muslim, it means you got to give up weed and white women. Boy, you knew somebody's going to get shot. Brother can't go cold turkey on white pussy. Oh, hell no. That's a 12-step program right there. Brother had to get a cell phone in his name, find a new co-signer for a new apartment, get a new ride to work. You gotta be smoking weed when that shit's going down. You can't go cold turkey on both. That's tough. I gotta be honest with you, though. I kinda understood it when the sniper shot somebody at the Home Depot. I kinda got that one. Because I've gone to Home Depot before on the weekend. I wanted to shoot somebody my goddamn self. And y'all, no, fuck y'all. Somebody's gonna help me with some paint. This is some bullshit over here. Fuck this. I've been next for 3 hours. What the fuck is a hold up? Marco Polo, this is some bullshit. I'd have killed somebody this time.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Ginnish, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
I miss Ralphie.
I do too.
He fucking Ralphie was hilarious. Hilarious.
Oh, he was one of the good ones.
Yeah, no, I miss his comedy a lot. That Brandon White from Wednesday night kind of reminded me of Ralphie.
Yeah, I can see that.
Kind of little hillbilly-ish, but not hillbilly jokes.
Yeah.
So to say, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty funny.
Yeah, I've always liked Brandon. That's kind of, I mean, honestly, that's why I invited him. But, yeah.
Yeah. So. No, I was real impressed with him.
Yeah, I've loved Brandon. He's like I said, I've done some shows with him when he first started a little while ago, because he's less than a year in.
Okay.
So, and I did a few shows with him, and I've invited him to a couple now, because I've been so impressed with the way he presents himself on stage, the way he does everything. I mean, I've been very impressed with him.
Oh. Well, so. Good. Yeah, I liked him a lot, so I'll be completely honest. I think I could take or leave Tommy T.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those. I mean, I don't mind Tommy. He's not the best, but I mean, he's a nice guy, and it's just like whatever. So, but I will be honest. Last night they loved him. They ate him up. They loved him in freaking Ording.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, wasn't my cup.
No.
Narn,
it's a different style.
Fantastic as always.
Narn's been great, I mean, for as long as we've known him. So
Vargo I've always loved, but I think we've talked about Andy's comedy a few times here. That it's hit and miss, and he was on Wednesday. He had me dying.
He was hitting. Yeah, he was doing good. And the last couple times I've seen him, he's been like that. So it was kind of one of those things, like, I think he had some a little bit, and I think he's starting to come into his own. So I think he's doing good.
Yeah. The group of people I brought loved him.
Yeah.
They couldn't remember names, but they wanted me to tell the Asian guy and the gay guy were funny.
That's nice.
I'm like, oh, no names. We're just going to go with the Asian and the gay.
I mean, you know.
If they play their cards right together, it could be the Gaysian.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And that's the end of my zing there. No, it was a fun show.
It was.
I've got some issues, and I was debating whether I was going to air them out here, but your last show with them is next month anyways.
Pretty much.
So, fuck him. I don't know what happened back at my group that got half of them got booted. However, I do know the owner told me, oh yeah, I very politely said, hey, if you guys want to talk, you know, you can go out, take your beer out on the patio and talk. And then I get in the car and I'm informed by my wife that that is not how it went down.
Yeah.
That he told him to get the fuck out and never come back.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Talking to one of the girls, they thought he was being very racist towards, Eric.
Yeah.
So that sucks. And this whole charging people thing, nobody realized they were getting charged until they paid their tab. And that's where they put the cover charge on.
Huh. And, see, and they're supposed to say something when they go up there, if it's going to be, yeah.
And Ron ended up paying for 3 covers when it was only him and his fiance. And he thinks it's because the first time he went up there, he bought 3 beers. Because he bought me one, Tosh one, and himself one.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he said he bought 6 beers and his bill was $90.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no problem. I know you might, but I have no problem shitting on it. That is fucking... That is Bush.
It's one of those things, and it's kind of one of those things, because like I said, it was one, we had talked about it like in the very beginning, and I had thought, honestly, that it was only for, like, when we first started, and we could only do like 25% of the room or whatever, you know, when it was the rules were, you could only have so many, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The and that's when I knew that we were charging, and then it was kind of one of those things. I thought it was just kind of then and just never thought about it again. Cause you know me, I don't pay a lot of attention. It's one of my biggest problems, honestly. But, and then all of a sudden it was just like, oh, no, never mind.
Yeah.
And
the,
found out that, no, no. Yeah, it is
the way it's fucking scandalous the way it has it done. Right. If you want to charge a cover, it's your establishment. That's up mm-hmm. to you. Right. There's a lot of places that when you have live entertainment, whether it's comedy, music, you know, that tend to charge.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with it, but, you know, I understand it. But it's nowhere at the front door. So when you walk into the place, you have no fucking clue.
No.
Right? Let's just say, I know at Imbibe, like, especially when we were first getting going before we built our crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It was people coming in to buy a growler that was like, oh, what the fuck's going on? How many people would come back and buy beer if they noticed that they got charged a cover to come in and buy a growler and they sat and watched comedy?
Yeah.
You know, if you either have it at the door so it's blatantly seen, big sign, comedy tonight, $10 entrance, you know, something. It's not on the flyers. And I know you make the flyers, but he approves them. He posted them on his face on the brewery Facebook.
Yeah.
At no point in that post does it say $10 cover charge.
No, it doesn't.
And then when you're doing $10 cover charge, let's say we weren't doing a benefit show. And let's say it was a regular Wednesday when you're paying comics. Right? Mm-hmm. And your pay is $300 to split between 3 comics. And we know how that breaks. You know, your headliner gets the most, blah, 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 on, and trickles down. So that Wednesday night, we had, I'd say, 40 people.
Yeah.
He made an extra $400. That's not including beer sales, which it looked like everybody was drinking.
Yeah, it did.
So I would imagine that's even more on top.
You would think.
I could tell you right now if... A lot of comics anyways, if they knew that there was a cover charge, would demand more money.
Yeah, I mean, probably, and it's one of those things. I think with him, it's been, like I said, when we first started, it was one of those that it was only partial room. So, I mean, I got it, but then I thought it was one of those things that it changed.
Well, and like I said, if it's posted and shit, I get it. Then people have a choice.
Stop.
when you walk through the door, you buy three beers and, you know, six beers or whatever, and you ask for your tab, and there's an extra $30 added to it.
Yeah.
You didn't have a choice to stay or not.
No.
And to me, that was just fucking, it's just dirty.
I agree. And that's one of the things that, you know, one of the reasons, like I said, I'm done. That's kind of like once I figured out that, hey, oh, wait, you're charging still. I thought we were only doing this for a part of the time.
Yeah. And again, if not, that's no big deal, right? Like, I get it. I mean, remember him, but that's also how rooms crash too. Look what it did to Imbibe.
Yeah.
When they thought they would add it too. And it fucking flopped, like just like I told him it would.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm part of where he's gotten away with it there too. Is, I mean, it's the same people, so they're used to it. And I think that's why because the people that go there now are the ones that started going there when it was there. And he's just, oh, it's kind of established. No, it's established for the people that have been there, not for the rest of us.
And I get that, but then you're never going to grow the room.
No. And that's what I mean. It's one of those things. But I mean, honestly, there's so many other reasons I went out of there. I mean, right now there's no food anymore because he's pissed off every fucking bar around him.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Because I found that out last night because there used to be you could order from
the Rainier.
Well, no, the Rainier he pissed off a long time ago.
oh.
But up until last night, last month, I could order from the Italian place across the street or across the
back behind, right?
Yeah, back behind. And now apparently they're pissed off at him. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's kind of one of those things I'm like, really, dude? I mean, you're just, and I, that's why I'm like, I'm done. And I mean, I know Narn, when he does it, he's going to want more money. And I don't know how well that's going to work, which he should. If he's charging, you know, 10 bucks a person, there should be more.
If he's charging 10 bucks a person and you're bringing 40 people on average in, that extra $400, I would imagine that $500 is what's needed for the comics.
Yeah.
Then, you know. And one of the reasons, too, why we chose Wednesday, right, is because Wednesday, one, you could get comics cheaper.
Yes.
Right? And good comics, because a normal comics work week is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so if you had people like Gabe in town, you know, you could get Gabe for $200. Yes. Where if it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he's going to want $5 to $7, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're not talking but, like Gabe
and
is
like
a
I
local.
Said, though, it's one of those things, like you said, is I think we can get him for $200 until I say, oh, by the way, it's a $10 cover charge.
Well, yeah.
Now that it's a $10 cover charge, that changes things.
Well, and that comes to the next point of another reason we chose Wednesday was
because there was no cover.
Bars aren't charging people on a Wednesday night because you're not going to draw. People are spending their money on the weekends, not unless it's a big concert at Climate Pledge or Tacoma, you know, something like that. But you're not, nobody's going, hey, it's Wednesday night. Let's go pay a cover.
No. And I think the reason, like I said, that he's because he's gotten away with it with the people that are there because they're there all the time and they're just used to it and they know about it. And they're like, whatever. So he's gotten used to it with them. So he's just like, oh, whatever. You know, and if he can get anybody to come in and be like, oh, oops, I didn't realize this.
Yeah, well.
That's going to change some things. So so the poster for next month is going to say there's a $10 cover charge.
Yeah, it feels really fucking slimy to me.
But
really.
That's the thing that's been a problem with Sean and NYU. I mean, honestly, Sean from the beginning because of that. And well, it's just everything. Every once in a while, he'll do something. It'll be fine for a bit. And then he'll do something that just reminds me of how slimy he can be.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan back in playing softball. It's yours. Like,
yeah.
You know, I don't fucking need it. Because I probably would have left 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
When did you start? And 3 years ago? Yeah.
It's just been one of those things. I mean, in all reality, it's whatever. You know, it's not that. I mean, it's once a month I have to deal with them. It's not too bad. But then every once in a while, then it's like this one where everything, the show went great, but everything behind the scenes was a freaking a mess. And it's like, I just, it's not worth it to me. You know, this isn't my career. This isn't something I want to, you know, build any bigger. It's just something that was fun to do. And it's not so fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm having to deal with, you know, all of a sudden finding out, wait a minute, you're still charging. I thought this was just something for the, you know, the couple months, you know, or whatever, while we were still in the, you know, we could only have the, you know, 20% or 50%,
yeah,
you know, capacity in the room. So fine, we can only have 50 capacity in the room. I'm okay with, you know, charging at that point because we can't have as many people and we want to bring it back. So, okay. But like I said, I thought it was, you know, I thought we were done with that. And it wasn't until someone else, one of the other like regulars I was talking to, said something about it. And I'm like, wait, what? He's still charging? And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, awesome. And like I said, if you go to the other one, which I will be honest, I love the people at Firehouse. And they will, you know, every time they take care of me, they talk to me. I mean, they give me, I get free food. everything else. And, but they don't charge and they're great to the customers and they will update, they will back us in every way possible.
Yeah. And so I want to clarify that. Like if he, depending on how he did it, I guess I should say, if he was racist towards Eric and asking him to leave, which I don't know, you know, I wasn't there. And I didn't get the specifics. I was just told they thought he was being racist. Or what he said was racist. Well, to me, if you think about it, maybe it is. Like, might be a good chance it's, you just kind of maybe took it that way because you got thrown out too.
Yeah.
But we've always asked that from any room we've ever done. Like, hey, back us. Like, we need you. Like, it's not our job to control the crowd.
No.
Right? It's your guys' job to keep the patrons down, you know. And if that's the case, like, I have no problem, right? Even though it was people I work with. Like, that doesn't bother me. But, you know, if it went down, you know, nastily, yeah, that's bullshit. You know, I was told that they didn't get a warning. They didn't get, you know... He just said, get the fuck out. You're done.
And see, yeah, no, I didn't see that because I was over. Because what? When did it happen?
Right as the roast was starting, we were all up front.
Okay.
Because they walked up. Remember, I was on stage, starting the roast, and they walked up and shook my hand and said, we just got kicked out. We're gone. And I was like, oh, all right, bye. Like,
yeah, see, and I didn't, you know. I mean, I caught them walk up to you and say something, but I didn't realize that's when I thought the other guy was already gone and they were just deciding to go.
Yeah, I have no clue.
All of a sudden I saw he was gone and I'm like, huh, weird.
Even when they talked to me yesterday about it, I'm like, guys, I have no, like, I'm like, this is me at a comedy show. Like, I've had lots of shows where groups of people come and see me.
Yeah.
I said, but I very rarely spend any time with them. Because I'm in Comedy Zone. Like, you know, my job's to hang out with the comedians, especially a night like Wednesday when I'm the host, right?
Yeah.
You're trying to get all the information you need to host, people's names. This particular one, you had to get the information on the charity and, you know, other events the bar's hosting, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I normally will say hi in the beginning, and then at the end, you know, no problem.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to keep walking back to that table like I have a job to do. So sure. I really have no fucking clue what happened. And to be honest, I didn't hear a whole lot. I do know they were being loud.
He was. I mean, there was a lot of,
Eric especially, I don't think it was or like bad.
No, it was more, I mean, not, it was just drunk.
It was more stereotypical.
Yeah, because I mean Narn made jokes about it, you know, about being the
we all did,
but I mean,
remember, I didn't realize he left when I started hosting the roast.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, where's the stereotype? Like, I had no fucking clue he was gone.
Yeah, And it was because I know the group that I was with, that I kept sitting with over by the front.
Yeah.
They kept commenting that he was being very loud and everything else. So, and they're regulars, so it might be that might be one of the things for Sean is why he was like, oh, you know. But I mean, it's still, I mean, I don't know what happened. I didn't see it. He was being very loud, but it's like whatever it happens.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think it was necessarily rude loud. Now, and this is what I tried explaining to the girl who got thrown out. She's who I work with, is that to me, loud people don't bother me, right? It doesn't throw me off my game. It actually adds to my comedy because I'm good at it. Like, it's a part of comedy I'm good at. Crowd work. I said, there's some comics that will just ignore it and stay on, and then there's some that you fuck up for their whole set. Like,
Yeah.
they just don't know how to handle it. They can't recover. You know, that's not their thing. And I said, also at the same time, when it does bother me is when it's bothering others around. Pick you and start going at you because you're being loud. If you're bothering others around you, now we have a problem. You know, because those people, and especially when they're paying, right? Those people paid to be there too. And they didn't pay to see the guy at the back table.
Yeah.
You know, they paid to see me, you, and the rest of the group. So I get it. But it still has to be done, especially in my mind, if you're a business owner, in a right way. And if it wasn't, I'm even angrier.
And it's one of those things, like I said, I wasn't involved. I didn't
No,
see
neither
it.
was I. No, I'm
But
not
I
blaming you
mean,
at all.
I know,
We
but I
were doing
mean,
our job.
knowing other things that times I've dealt with Sean, I could definitely see it being done in the wrong way.
Oh, I could too. I mean, I could too, 100%. But I do know, like, so at one point I noticed Ron and his fiance stand up and stand behind the table. And I walked back there and I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, dude, these guys won't shut the fuck up. Like, we couldn't hear. He goes, it doesn't help, the mic system shitty, you know. Plus these guys, like, so we just stood back so we could
Yeah,
try to hear
that
better.
plug-in mic was not loud. So I definitely it was way quieter than the when I have the because the wireless mic's loud as hell
Oh,
in
okay.
there. So there was the problems that, and that was it. Having to switch to that wireless that wired mic for some reason was way quieter.
Yeah, and I know my boss called me the next day, the bald guy, and told me that he kept shushing Eric, the coke rep. I'm like, dude, shh. Like, we're here for this, not you. Like, shh. But it is what it is. But there's a, as good as I felt, like, I had a lot of fun on the stage, right?
You could see it. You were having fun with it. I mean, they were having fun making fun of you, though, but that was good.
But well, and I don't mind being
Oh,
roasted.
I know, yeah.
And I had a lot of fun with that. I called her native lady. She informed me she was Mexican.
Oh, yeah, no, it was awesome. It
But
was,
I
yeah.
had a ton of fun with her. She was a great sport. Like, the comedy portion of it, I had a blast with. After the show, normally you're on a high, right? When you have a show like we had, a good fun show, you're on a high. Like, I was, and that got swept right out from underneath me, like, right away. Like, I, and not like, you know, not like somebody told me, oh, you weren't very funny tonight, or like, I was angry, you know. The whole behind the, like, I think you said it best, the behind the scenes shit Wednesday night just infuriated me. It's probably a good thing you had ordering last night, because I'm sure you could tell I'm pissed now, but holy shit, yesterday I might have a microphone sticking out of the TV here right now by throwing it. Like, I was fucking fuming. And it probably doesn't help who he is and me. Like, he's already rubbed me wrong for, you know, 10 years. But yeah, it was really good to see Stephanie. I haven't seen her for a while.
Yeah, Steph's great.
You know.
She's the only reason I got to eat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She went and got your food?
I expected that I could order food, and I couldn't. And so I was sitting there, and Steph's like, she had pizza, and she's like, here, have a piece of pizza. I'm like, I didn't even ask. I was just sitting there talking to her, and she's like, here, pizza. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, we made plans and went to the Rainier early.
Yeah, like I said, my plans normally are that, you know, there's going to be, I can order food there, and I order food, and yeah, no, I guess he's pissed them off too, which doesn't surprise me. So he's definitely one of those ones that he, things are supposed to go the way he thinks they're supposed to go, and if they don't, he will be like all pissy. So, which is why he, we don't have, you know, the food, we don't have everything else. So he's his own worst enemy. I think that place could be so much better if he wasn't a prick.
Got out of his way or let somebody else handle the customer portion of it?
Yeah. But he gets in his own way and pisses people off, and then, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I could see that 100%.
But see, it's like ordering. I mean, in ordering, I mean, they have our backs on everything. I mean, when anything happens, and that's the thing, that's like the difference. Where him, it's like if it was basically, and it was like, I think the reason why he probably kicked them out, they were probably bugging him.
And oh, I'm sure. Really, I'm sure.
But it's like in ordering, I mean, we have loud people in ordering, and we have people that, you know, whatever. We had one last night, but we played with them. We had fun with them, and everyone, it was fine. But I mean, like when everything happened with Robert that one night, immediately we were on had the waitresses back, the waitresses had ours, you know, when the police got called, everything. I mean, we've had times because they have pool tables where, like, I mean, two big scary dudes that I didn't want to talk to, like biker dudes, came in and started playing pool. And the one waitress who's like maybe my height and 130 pounds walked over to them and like, comedy, no pool. Well, we already put our money in. She's like, here's your fucking dollar. No.
No.
Like, cool. So, and I mean, that's the kind of support we get in ordering. And it's like, huh. So that's one thing that keeps me wanting to do it. I love doing ordering because we get the support. Everyone's great. And I mean, it's.
Well, just drop Enum Claw.
I'm tempted, but.
I mean, honestly, with the way he is, and obviously the people you, like you said, he's pissing off. You got to remember, it's our name on the flyer.
Yeah.
You know, he's just the room. So if it ends up being where he pisses your comedy patrons off, that's us that are people are mad at.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I'm gonna switch it. I'm gonna change it on the thing so it says that it is charged, and then I'm gonna also have, like I said, I think January is going to be up because I've already booked January, and then February, I don't know what's going to happen. I think it's going to be, I was thinking of closing out February and me featuring and then pretty much being like, here you go.
Yeah.
So it's all you now. I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, and again, it's on you, not necessarily me, for the decision portion of it. But yeah, I'd be out. Like,
it would, one of those things. I mean, and it might actually just be that I'm out in January. I haven't completely decided. The only reason I'm real like still want to do January is because I've already booked it.
I'll be completely honest with you. So Kristen is from Enum Claw. She was the girl that got kicked out. Is a year older than Sean. They went to high school together. And anyway, she was telling me, she's got some pretty deep connections through that town.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me that she might have another room we could do and bury it at the distillery there.
Mm. It's tempting.
And I'm pretty petty.
Like, I mean, I am, but as for
you're
me,
pretty Mike, I'm petty Matt. Like,
I mean, for me, it's, I think if I was going to stay and keep doing it, I would think about it. But I mean, with the way everything's going and planned right now, you know, with, you know, Amber and everything, more than likely, I mean, if everything goes the way it's supposed to, I won't be here for a few more months.
Well,
because the way she wants, she's planning on house going up for sale in January and everything said and done and us moving in March or April.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's kind of one of those that, I mean, that's kind of why I want to hand it. I mean, in all reality, I want to hand it to Narin because I know Narin won't put up with it. Narin, it's going to pretty much be probably, you know, here, go for it. And then I would see Narin more or me just saying we're done. And then if you want to talk to Narin and say, hey, I know this other place that, you know, wants to do it. And I'm fine with that, too.
Oh, if there was another place, I would do it just to bury Sean.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
I'm petty. I wouldn't
just basically tell Sean, hey, I'm out. So, and I don't know, you know, what you want to do, you know, how, whatever, you know, if, who you want to have do it, but I'm done. And then tell Narin, hey, here's this distillery. Have at you.
No, what I'm saying is I would take the distillery myself.
Oh, that's fine. If you want to do that, go for it. So if you're going to do that, then I would have a conversation with Narin and say, hey, just so you know, Matt's going to do this one. So, I mean, it's, you know.
And I would make it the first Wednesday of the month and I would just fucking bury him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the pettiness in me.
Oh, I know. But it's one of those things, like I said, I mean, in that case, I mean, you know me, I mean, you wouldn't want to screw Narin even either. So you'd have that conversation and say, hey, I'm going to do this instead. So.
Oh, 100%. 100%. No, I have motherfucker. Let's get to some joke portions of the goddamn show. This motherfucker. So I wasn't kidding when in the beginning I called him the king of the roast, and especially in the Pacific Northwest, right? Yeah. It's what he's known for. I didn't realize how much of a king he. So almost 4 years ago now, we did a roast for my 40th.
Mm-hmm.
And he called the wife and got the details, the dirt.
Yeah.
And he used that stuff some of that 4 years ago. I didn't realize he saved all the shit he didn't use in his phone. He's had a file on me in his phone for 4 fucking years. And he showed me. He had like just all these files of information he's gotten about different people he's roasted that he hasn't used.
Wow.
And I was like, holy shit, dude. Yeah, he got me pretty good. I had a few that didn't land at all. And every time, fucking Vargo was so quick.
Oh, yeah, I was cracking me up. Punchline.
Yeah.
Because the first time he said, how about you try a punchline? Yeah. And then after that, he's just dropped down to just punchline.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Which was beautiful. I mean, he had the crowd was fucking dying every time. You'd say it would die, and all of a sudden you'd hear Vargo behind punchline, and yeah.
Yeah, the only mistake I think I made, because I'm not sure I worded stuff how I wrote it.
Yeah.
But I was going to, I had my cards there to do it. I was going to transfer from the phone, the notes in my phone, right? Because it would have been a lot easier for me, one joke per card. And then just put that card in the back, where when I look at my phone, I got to like scroll with my eyes and I don't want dead air type deal. So I'm trying to go quick and I miss shit. And, you know, I should have transferred them over to index cards like I was going to. But I didn't. I mean, some of my favorite. Well, I think the Mr. Clean on Tommy T, or the Pawn Stars.
Yes.
On Tommy T was fucking hilarious.
Yes.
That had me cracking up. To me, right, I think the best part of a roast, in my mind, isn't the crowd's reaction.
It's the comedian.
Right, because even like filthy, dirty, something that if you told doing regular stand-up, the crowd would moan. You know, if you hear that guy in the background verbally fucking laughing, like on a row, oh my God, it's fucking.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Narn being Cambodian, which I think is bullshit because he's good at roasting, makes me think he's German.
Yeah,
that one did pretty good. That was pretty funny. I got the groans when I was like, actually, Narn, this was the first one I heard somebody laugh at. Maybe, yeah, the first one was when I compared him, where I called him Cambo Slice, named after, you know, Kimbo Slice, and I hope he ends the same way, dead. Yeah. The Tommy T one I got, and literally I just scrolled his Facebook, but about swiping his Facebook, muscle car, muscle car, muscle car. Oh, he must have a micro penis. I talked to Mike Hansen afterwards. I'm like, dude, I had nothing mean to say to you. Like, I just love Mike Hansen. Like,
awesome.
You know, you don't want to make any dad jokes because by all accounts, he's a fantastic father. Like, and it's, I think it's something he takes pretty seriously. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There was the calendar joke. The Brandon White racing down a hill joke. I'm just rereading some of my jokes here.
Oh, yeah.
Yours is where I really got fucked up, because I got like six paragraphs on the Grinch. Oh, you can't see that. It's fucking... But I got six paragraphs on the Grinch, and... As one didn't land, and then I'm trying to find my spot where the next one was, and I couldn't find it, and, you know, about the Grinch being black, but, or when he's really white, but not white.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was good.
That was pretty good. I didn't even get to the blue balls, green balls joke. That was when I lost. Honestly, I thought I cut that one out on purpose, but I did a, you know, his heart was two sizes too small when he was born, but in the end, he grew three times bigger. And I mean, there's just a ton of Cindy Lou Who jokes with that, but I figured somebody would land on it, so I left it out. And then I didn't do I had something written here about the first verse of the Grinch's theme song. Oddly enough, is all phallic-shaped items, a cactus, an eel, a banana. The first 20 seconds of the song, and you learn the Grinch is a dick. But, yeah, no, there was some really, really funny stuff. I love roast. Especially in that format. I don't know how good I would be at battle roast.
See, yeah, and that's one of the things is, I mean, the battle roasts are different. Yeah, I could, you're really good at that type. I don't know. The battle roast is just different.
Yeah, I don't know if I could. To me, the battle roast, at least watching them, seems more personal.
Yeah.
Like, you watch some of these guys that are doing, especially like the Jeff Ross one when he had that show, and like, they are deep diving into their lives, and yeah, they seem pretty personal.
Mm-hmm.
Right, to me, I scroll Facebook, and if you're dumb enough to post it, then it's there for the taking.
Yeah,
you know, obviously you leave death, like, yeah, some of that stuff is just like, I don't know what's off limits and what's not anymore, you know.
And yeah, it's tough. And well, I think the hard part, I mean, in the style that we had, which was, you know, the Comedy Central type, you know, roast with the dais and whatever. I like that style because it seems like it's better for the crowd. When you have the battle ones, because I've been to a couple of the battle ones. I've never been, because I'm, like we said, I'm not a roast comic. We know this. We've always known this. I'm not good at it. But the ones that I've seen, the crowd half the time, it's like the comedians zinging each other with things that they've known forever, and the crowd's like, yeah, I don't get it. What's funny about this?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's stuff like, you know, where with you're hitting him with the Kimbo Slice, that's relatable to the crowd, and they get it. You know, when you make the comment about him looking like, you know, the, oh, muscle car, micro penis, you know, that's funny. I mean, the crowd can relate to that. But when there's ones like when you have comedians who, you know, like there's one that I know of where, you know, her significant other, you know, died from suicide and someone made a joke about it. And the comedians are like, oh, and, you know, like, oh, they got her. And the crowd's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that's what I said. It gets personal, right?
It does. Like, it gets very personal on the roast battles.
There's not a person our age. Yeah, there's not a person our age who hasn't seen that guy in the jacked up truck or the 1969 Plymouth Roadrunner where you're like, oh, he's making up for something, you know. We've all made that joke.
It's like I make the joke about, you know, Special K having the freaking Camaro.
Yeah.
I'm like, I call it his micro penis car.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the thing is I don't like the roast, the battle ones like that, because it's like when you have a roast like we did, I like that. I like that style, you know, like you did with Santa, we did with, you know, the Grinch this time. I mean, that's a completely different version for me. And I like that version better.
Yeah, no, I do too. Right. And you don't necessarily feel like one person is picked on because you kind of here's two jokes, here's five for the guests of honor, you know, type deal. Yeah. And I kind of like it how we've done it the couple times where we're doing it with fictional characters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There was nothing personal against Kevin. There was nothing personal against you. Like, it was just, what?
Oh, Kevin. I was just going to make fun of Kevin.
Oh. But I meant in roast-wise, right? It was, okay, here you go, Santa. Like, and it was, and again, like you said, makes it relatable. Everybody knows Santa. You make jokes of kids sitting on Santa's lap. There's a good chance, if you haven't said it out loud, it's passed through your mind 100 times.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it makes it fun.
It does.
Right? One of these years, it might be on my bucket list now that I think of it. We need to do a Halloween one where everybody just dresses up as somebody, whether you pick horror movies or, you know, whatever, and roast that way. Where it'd be zero personal, right? You're all of a sudden here you are, you're roasting Ghostface, Mike Myers, Chucky.
That would be pretty cool.
But
that would be a fun one.
But have them in said costume to play out the part. Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
That would be a fun one.
You know, it'd be cool one year to do the Easter Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
So...
See, now you're getting me all of that. Those would be fun.
Yeah.
I for me, it's one of those I like I said, I should have spent a little bit more time writing about, you know, all this and really mess with it, but I just didn't.
I know. Yeah. You phoned it in.
I did. But it was one of those ones I'm not... My biggest problem, I think is I should have really paid attention. I really thought about it and actually, like... Yeah, I don't know. It's tough for me sometimes to do it, and I think I get it stuck in my head that I can't do this. So I don't actually sit down and attempt it. I'm just immediately like, nope, I can't do this. I'm not good at roasting.
Yeah, Ron called me today, so Ron has to present at work on Wednesday, and he wrote a joke about my bald boss there, and he heard the alopecia Make-A-Wish Will Smith one I did. And so he called me today. He's like, dude, I need you to write a joke for me. I'm like, you have one. He goes, yeah, but you told me it sucks. I was like, the joke doesn't suck. I said it was clunky. Like, you had a 1,500 word essay for something that should take 10 seconds, you know?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, I need you to help me write a joke.
Yeah.
So... I guess I'm going to help him write a joke, but I don't know if I want to do that because Ron will also be the first one to throw me under the bus as the one writing it, and that's my boss. Like, you know, so.
It happens. And that's the hard part when you don't write comedy a lot. You make him clunky. Because a lot of even our jokes, when we first start them, a lot of times when we first write them and the first couple times you do them, sometimes they're clunky. Like when I do the one joke about losing weight, that was almost like an 8-minute long joke the first time I did it.
Yeah.
And now it's like 3 because I cut out all the, you know, I kept working it until I'm like, okay, this part isn't hitting. So this part can go away and this part can go away, and then cut it down to where it was just a 3 minute, you know, where it was just jokes.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And took all the filler words out.
Yeah. And a lot of times you put a lot of that filler without thinking about it. But when you're telling jokes, you need the filler to go away. And sometimes it takes, you know, saying it out loud and knowing what you're listening for to go, okay, that part's filler, I can get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because I'll even do sometimes where I'll say it into like my phone and then play it back to myself and like, and then take notes. Okay, this part's filler and that can go away and this can go away. And then once I'm in the, you know, doing it on stage, I pay attention to how the crowd reacts. Okay, this part isn't being, you know, isn't really hitting. So I can remove this part and, you know, focus harder over here and maybe change this a little bit. Yeah. There's always changes and, you know, you're always evolving them.
Well, 100%.
Yeah.
I almost threw up. So you know how we've been doing those drafts? You know, we did a few of those.
Yeah.
I saw another one yesterday on, and we've had this discussion 100 times. Everybody fucking knows who our quote unquote Mount Rushmore comedy is.
Mm-hmm.
So they did a stand up comedian draft. Dead or alive. All right. Dead or alive.
Mm-hmm.
They did 3 rounds, so 6 comics total. I wish I could find the fucking video. I can't find it right now, but it was, the first pick was Dave Chappelle. I'm not going to argue it. Yeah. I disagree with it. However, I believe Dave's on the Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to take a top 4 pick in the first, with, you know, with your number 1 pick, that's fine.
Yeah.
Then we went Bernie Mac, which I like Bernie Mac. I thought Bernie Mac was funny. I don't think Bernie Mac is a top 6 comedian.
Mm-mm.
At all. Then the next guy took Chris Tucker.
He does comedy?
For those that didn't hear me, Chris Tucker. And they're like old school comedy, like when he was on the Kings of Comedy. No. Nope. Just fucking no. Just fucking no. Then the next guy took Tom Segura. I really find Tom Segura funny. I think with more longevity, Tom could work his way up there. I think he's got that type of talent.
Hmm.
Today, I don't think he's there. Then it was Kevin Hart. Again, funny. But no. And then the final guy, or the final pick, was Martin Lawrence.
Yeah, no.
So even if, right, let's just, it was 2 black guys drafting, and they took, you know, 5 of the 6 were black guys.
Which, yeah.
And I have no problem with that. However, if you're picking black comedians, and you don't have Richard Pryor on a list of 1, there's a fucking problem.
I mean, a couple of those, I'm like, how the fuck do you take Kevin Hart over Richard Pryor?
Or Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, or Eddie Murphy. Or I mean, and you got the fucking guy that, like, runs around on Fifth Element, like, screaming like a bitch over both of those two?
I mean, if you wanted to just go black comics, I'm going Pryor, Chappelle, Murphy. And then I'd probably go Chris Rock,
mm-hmm.
not fucking Chris Tucker.
Well, and I mean, Chris Tucker for me is one of those ones that I see Chris Tucker. He is a decent comedic actor, like not a great even. He's a decent comedic actor. But
I think it depends on what he's in.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those. I've never seen him do comedy. I mean, maybe he is fucking amazing at comedy. I don't know. I've never seen it, but I've just seen him in the movies. I mean, he was he was okay in whatever it was with Jackie Chan.
Rush Hour.
I mean, it was okay, but I mean, honestly, that could have been anyone. My favorite Chris Tucker has to be Fifth Element.
Mine's Friday.
Friday he does pretty good too, but Fifth Element, the character that he plays, nobody I think could have made that character what he did.
I think Tucker and Rock are interchangeable in movie wise.
In most things, but I don't even think that, you know, Chris Rock could have made freaking that character in Fifth Element what he did to it.
But stand up wise, I don't think Tucker touches Chris Rock. I don't even think he smells his fucking breath. Like, not even close.
No.
None of them touch Pryor. Chappelle may be the only one I listened to an argument on.
Yeah.
Murphy didn't do it long enough before he got into acting for me to consider him up there with Pryor.
Yeah.
Like...
And, oh, yeah, because he just, I mean, once Murphy got into acting, he just, like, comedy was over.
Yeah. And then, I mean, again, we left off Carlin, which, again, there's no list of two that Carlin shouldn't be on.
No.
Kinnison?
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's... a fucking boatload of people who those three right there with Chappelle should have been picks 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, and it's one of those things, I get that comedy suggests or, you know, subjective, but they're wrong. So yeah,
but
I mean, I don't know how you, I mean, the one that keeps getting me is Chris Tucker. I mean, Kevin Hart, not that I agree with it, but a lot of people think he's hilarious.
I think Kevin Hart's funny. I think enjoy
funny.
Kevin Hart specials.
No.
I don't think he's top tier.
No. I mean, in all honesty, I would put Joe Coy and Brad.
Yeah.
Above that.
I'm not a huge... Joe Coy's okay. I don't think he's... I think he's maybe... on a list similar to, he's down there for me. Fuck it. he just is. I like Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
I like, I mean, if we're getting into that second tier people.
I mean, and for me, I don't know, because I mean, it's like, for me, I mean, I like Bert Kreischer. I think he's up there. You know,
Jim Brewer.
I think Brad Williams is funnier than Kevin Hart. I mean,
Brad Williams is fucking hilarious.
But it's like one of those, to get to that top tier, you have to be the guy. Like Brad Williams, I mean, I love him.
I mean, honestly, outside of fucking Chappelle, I don't think any of them are Andrew Dice Clay. The only one of those guys outside of Chappelle even selling out small arenas would be Kevin Hart. You know, Bernie Mac did it, but he did it on tour with Steve Harvey and,
yeah,
you know, all those guys. But yeah, fucking Chris Tucker's not selling out fucking Madison Square Garden.
No.
By the way, Dice Clay's been cracking me up. He's on TikTok. And he dresses up, he almost looks like a hobo. Like, he's got, like, this big parka and shit on, and all he does is he just walks up to strangers. He's like, oh, I already took pictures. I guess I have room. And they just look at him like, who the fuck are you? Oh, you want a picture with me? Oh, you want me to sign an autograph? And they're like, what the fuck? It cracks me up.
I'm going to have to find him.
Here is, let me see here. I'm probably going to get a commercial. Let me mute. Oh, I did, and I got it on time.
Nice.
I'm going to see if this is even familiar to me. This is the commercial number 2. This is Chris Tucker's stand-up, and it looks like it's the picture they showed on the TikTok.
Shot! Pissed off, man. Just got me a new place, man. Hate my neighbors, man. I got neighbors that borrow shit all the time. You ever had a neighbor that borrow your shit and keep it so long, you have to borrow it back? I told you, you got a broom I can borrow, man. No, it's you got my goddamn broom. That ain't all, man. I got rats and roaches like Crips and Bloods in my house, man. Be crawled by shootings all the time. I come home for work out to break up fights. Oh, y'all, let it go, let it go. It ain't worth it. Stop that shit, man. Man, they be answering my door. Talking on my phone, won't click over. People done told me they ain't call, I ain't heard shit from them. That motherfucker don't live here. Chris who? My roach is smart, too, man. They play dead. The other day, I stepped on one of them, went in the bathroom to get some tissue, came back, that nigga was gone. Seen him 2 weeks later with some stitches. Nigga told me he was too legit to quit. Man, it's fucked up when you go in your series to get your prize, them motherfuckers done already been in there and got it.
Well, my assumption of them being fucking wrong was proven.
Yeah, that was...
I mean... It was only a two-minute clip. There might be some funny stuff in there. But that video is literally titled The Funniest Stand-Up Comedy Ever.
Hmm.
Comedy's subjective. It ain't that fucking subjective.
It is, but that's bad.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. Let's see.
That was really bad.
I'm hoping it. Oh, fucking commercial. It looked like there's a... No, that's just Kevin Hart. I was going to say, it looked like there was a newer one, which I didn't know Chris Tucker was doing comedy still. I know he's getting ready to do Rush Hour 4. Heard that on the radio this morning.
Why?
Play, man. My mama made us go to church. Made us. We didn't even sin yet. We still had to go to church. Now get up. You are going to church. Mama, can't the preacher come here sometimes? We always going to him. He can preach on the kitchen table, mama. Get up. You are going to church. Make me sick. Make me late. She always talking about we making her late. And she ain't dressed neither. Walking around with her bra on. You are making me late. I can't get dressed fooling around with y'all. You can't get dressed because you ain't dressed, mama. You late too. We just a late family. Making me sick. She be mad at us every Sunday. She fix us some breakfast. She wouldn't fix us nothing. She be mad at us. We be so late, she got to eat it in the car. She come to the car with her food. And one time she brought it to the car and gave it to me to hold, but I didn't hear what she said, and I thought she was giving it to me. And I ate my mama breakfast, man. I ain't never seen her this mad before. All I heard was here.
Yeah, I'm not sold.
No. It just sounds like him talking about all this other stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sold. Yeah. No. And like I said, we don't need to necessarily discuss who ours are, but we know there's a group of people that should be on anybody's list. And I wouldn't say every one of what we've said is on their list, but some variation is. Right? I don't think there's a person who enjoys stand-up, and I don't mean casually enjoys, but watches all the different specials that come out, you know, goes to a show a couple times a year at least, that doesn't have Pryor on that list. Right? I just don't think they do. Kinison, maybe. And not because... I don't think anybody under 40 knows who the fuck Sam Kinison is.
I know, which is disgusting to me.
It was almost like when Sam died, his comedy got buried in a vault.
Unfortunately.
Like, you don't see, whether you're scrolling YouTube, whether you're scrolling TikTok, you don't see clips of Kinison's comedy.
No.
You know whose comedy I see the most on TikTok? It's fucking Hedberg.
Well, I haven't seen him at all.
Oh, my God, I see. I see
Brad Williams, mainly.
I got to see 10 clips of Mitch Hedberg every time I'm scrolling the For You page.
Yeah.
And I like Mitch Hedberg. Mitch Hedberg's style of comedy isn't my favorite.
Yeah.
The one-liner kind of puns or whatever. They're funny in moderation, but they're not funny for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So, and that's where, to me, that's where comedy is subjective, right?
Oh, yeah. It's hugely subjective. I mean, there's sometimes, I mean, it's one of those things, like a lot of the comedians that, honestly, today that get booked around here, I don't find funny at all.
Yeah.
Like, I've gone to a couple shows now, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is the newest, funniest up-and-comer, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I love this guy, and then he comes up, and I'm like, this is the worst shit I've heard in my life. It's like, I went to one the other day, and I told Amber, I'm like, I've had root canals that were funnier than this.
Oh, look at you roasting yourself.
Well, no, I wasn't talking about me doing comedy. I was talking about their comedy.
Oh. Well, look at you roasting, just in general, see?
But the problem that I have is, like, when I say stuff, it's like, my problem is I want to roast the people, but it's like I want them to still be my friends. So, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always afraid that, you know, I'm going to, it's like, if I said that, you know, that I think that's a little far. If I'm like, yeah, I've listened to your comedy and I have root canals that have been better. I mean, I think that's a little personal to a point that, like, okay, that's a little far.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'm still a fan of dirty comedy.
I know.
I don't think we need to clean comedy up.
No, we need to dirty it up.
I like a lot of people, you know, like the new way is moving. Yeah, I just don't like comedy is supposed to be that safe, funny space.
It is, and it's the hard part is the way it's going, like you said, is we get sometimes where, like, the new joke that I have, you heard it, you know, the one where I talk about, you know, the Amazon and getting pegged at the end. I had someone basically say something that joke was in some way, like, homophobic because I was making it sound like a bad thing, and I'm like, I never said it was a bad thing. I just said, I made the joke that, oh, I'm into it now. Who knew? And it's like the second they immediately you make a joke of something about something, immediately you're making fun of it. And I'm like, I'm not in any way saying I'm not going to yuck your yum, as they say now. But I mean, whatever.
What the fuck hipster That's bullshit is that?
You haven't heard that one yet?
No.
I hear it all the time. I'm not going to yuck your yum. I'm like, whatever. I think it's because Kevin says it and I listen to their fucking podcast.
You saying that just made me feel like my ears got fisted. Like, what the fuck?
So, yeah. Yuck, so I'm not. I think it's Kevin that says it all the time, but you know, I'm not gonna whatever.
There's
whatever.
Nothing
you think
that yucks Kevin's yum.
Yeah, I know.
Guy likes food.
So, but it's so funny. I had someone make a comment about it, like, "Oh, what was wrong with it? You know, why is that bad?" I'm like, "I never said it was bad. I don't understand what the fuck you're getting at here."
And even if okay, there's cringe comics out there. Don't get me wrong.
There are. Well, I think a lot of these people listen to it so they can be offended.
But,
you know, I want to be offended by it. So I'm going to find something it's offensive so I can bitch at you about it.
You know, if you just come out and go rape, 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 probably cringy.
Yeah.
Right? But if you write a good, funny joke about rape, it's probably funny.
Yeah.
Now, again, right? Could it trigger somebody? Absolutely. And I mean, everybody goes through their own personal trauma. I mean, I could make a fucking joke about golfing.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the crowd that night could have lost their dad to a horrible golf accident. I don't fucking know. And I'm not going to take the joke out because of that. You know, now if I did an hour long about how I fuck my asshole with a one wood, you know, that's probably cringe. I'm probably not going very far. You know, if you come out and say the N-word 30 fucking times, probably cringe. You come out and make a stereotype joke, okay. They're beaten to death, but they can still be funny.
Yeah.
So, I hate it. I think that's why, like, my favorites that are newer is, like, Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer, you know, Brad Williams. They still have that edge to them.
Yeah.
And I like it. It reminds me of the glory days of the 80s and 90s comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So
before everyone started getting to that point where it's like, oh, you have to do this. It's like I was talking to a comedian last night that is getting ready to start booking shows. And he's like, the hardest part is like, keep hearing all these people saying, you have to book someone who's of this and someone who's of that. And he's like, I just want to book the people I think are funny. And that's I'm like, that's what I do. That's why I get in trouble with some people, because they're like, oh, you don't have enough of this on your show. You don't have enough of this. You have too much of this. And I'm like, I have funny.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
You know,
but a lot of people feel you have to do these shows that have people of a certain type on each one and enough of them and everything else. And it's like, no, you want funny.
Yeah. No, and if you have funny.
Too many getting work. Oh, yeah. I think there's way too many people getting work just because they fit a, you know,
the agenda.
Whatever agenda that someone wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I don't know why. Agenda made me think of Barbara Sarah. I miss Barbara Sarah.
So do I.
I miss her a lot now that I think of it. So, well, that was a lot of just comedy talk today.
Yeah.
Started anger fueled. Broke off into some good stuff and then got more anger fueled when people are picking Chris Tucker as the funniest comedian ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. But, you know, I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, it's weird though. I mean, it's like, yeah, but Chris Tucker, really?
Yeah.
Like, when you say comedy, I mean, comedian of any type, Chris Tucker is not a name that even, like, comes to my mind.
No. We talk stand-up for at least 2 to 3 minutes every episode.
Yeah.
Every episode it comes up, we talk it.
Yeah.
And not one time. I think, at least on this podcast, I think the only time Chris Tucker's ever come up, I think we did a segment once where we talked about weed movies.
Yeah.
And we talked to, like, Half-Baked being funny and Days of Confused and Friday. I think that's the only fucking time.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, as comedian, it's not something that comes to.
No, I put Bob Saget ahead of him.
Yeah.
And Bob Saget's stand-up is not very good. And again, I just told everybody I love dirty comedy.
Yeah.
Bob Saget's is not. He's got brief, brilliant moments.
He does, sometimes.
But, you know, I also think you learn to appreciate Bob more the more and more personal stories you heard, even pre-death, but, of course, after his death, about just the type of human he was.
Yeah.
And how genuine he was and nice and, you know. But, again, there's a perfect example of cringe when he's talking about fucking the Olsen twins.
Yeah, that was a...
You know, you and I make a joke about fucking the Olsen twins. Still could be cringe, but has the possibility of being funny because we don't know the fucking Olsen twins.
Yeah, I mean, he does, though, which just makes sense.
Yeah, not that I'm accused of Bob saying it because I don't believe he ever did. But when you say it on stage, you can hear or you can imagine it actually happening.
Yeah.
Right? So, who knows? All right. Well,
Yeah. See, now that just makes it creepy. Now I'm just creeped.
All right. What do you got booked for January?
January in at Cole Street, I've got Mike Wally Walter and Adam Tiller. And hosting that is Jess Anderson. And then at Firehouse, I've got Sherry, because we all love Sherry. Richie Apjay and Allison Fine is gonna host it.
Oh, I'm a huge Mike fan. Mike's fucking hilarious.
I am too, but Mike has been, I don't know I don't know if he's kind of been banned by everybody else or something, but he's not.
I think
he has not been getting shows.
Yeah, I think Mike's maybe rubbed people the wrong way.
I think so.
With how he's, at least on social media, how he's handled trying to get gigs and stuff.
Yeah.
But he probably feels blackballed. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's been doing it for 50 fucking years. And now people think he's outdated and he can't get shit.
Yeah.
And he's given so many comics a bump throughout the Northwest.
That's why I was like, nope, I will.
When he was booking rooms. You know, he booked me down in his Tumwater room a couple times.
Yeah, and he booked me a few times. He gave me my first feature, so, yeah.
You know, nope, I'm a big fan, and he's fucking hilarious.
He is, so I've got him with Adam Tiller, which I've only seen Adam a couple times, but I keep hearing good things about him, so I think he'll be a good feature, and then, yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, it should be a fun one.
All right. What are the dates on those?
Oh, you're going to kill me. I'm horrible on that. See, I was not prepared at all. You knew I wasn't prepared, but I remembered enough to remember the dates. The dates are January 4th, my dipshit brother's birthday, and Alexa's birthday. So, hey, right on. That's Connor's mom's birthday. So,
a dipshit and an ex.
Maybe I should invite her out for comedy and I can make fun of her the whole time.
Yeah, I'm not sure that goes over well.
Whatever, I don't have to pay her child support anymore, so I don't care.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, wasn't necessarily the show we normally do, but it was a show.
It was.
So, all right, guys. With all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we'll see you next week.
See you later. Right on.